It's Dune, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps, Episode 3, R.L. Stine's Stay Out of the Basement, Part 1. That is Book 2 of the Goosebumps series, and let's just kick it off. Fuck it. Stay out of the basement. Chapter 1. Hey, Dad, catch! Casey tossed the frisbee across the smooth green lawn. Casey's dad made a face, squinting into the sun. The frisbee hit the ground and skipped a few times before landing under the hedge at the back of the house. Not today. I'm busy, Dr. Brewer said, and abruptly turned and loped into the house. The screen door slammed behind him. Splack! Casey brushed his straight blonde hair back off his forehead. What's his problem? He called to Margaret, his sister, who had watched the whole scene from the side of the Redwood garage. You know, Margaret said quietly. She wiped her hands on the legs of her jeans and held them both up, inviting a toss. I'll play frisbee with you for a little while, she said. Okay, Casey said without enthusiasm. Okay. He walked slowly over to retrieve the frisbee from under the hedge. Margaret moved closer. She felt sorry for Casey. He and their dad were really close, always played ball or frisbee or Nintendo together. Let's kick it up a notch, make it super relevant. Always played ball or frisbee or Nintendo Wii together. But Dr. Brewer didn't seem to have time for him anymore. Jumping up to catch the frisbee, Margaret realized she felt sorry for herself, too. Dad hadn't been the same to her, either. In fact, he spent so much time down in the basement, he barely said a word to her. He doesn't even call me Princess anymore, Margaret thought. It was a nickname she hated, but at least it was a nickname, a sign of closeness. She tossed the red frisbee back. A bad toss. Casey chased after it, but it sailed away from him. Margaret looked up to the golden hills beyond their backyard. California, she thought. It's so weird out here. Here it is, the middle of winter, and there isn't a cloud in the sky, and Casey and I are out in jeans and t-shirts, as if it were the middle of summer. She made a diving catch for the wild toss, rolling over on the manicured lawn and raising the frisbee above her head triumphantly. Show off, Casey muttered, unimpressed. You're the hot dog in the family, Margaret called. Oh, well, you're a dork. Hey, Casey, you want me to play with you or not? He shrugged. Everyone was so edgy these days, Margaret realized. It was easy to figure out why. She made a high toss. The frisbee sailed over Casey's head. You chase it, he cried angrily, putting his hands on his hips. No, you, she cried. You! Casey, you're 11 years old. Don't act like a 2-year-old, she snapped. Well, you act like a 1-year-old, was his reply as he grudgingly went after the frisbee. It was all Dad's fault, Margaret realized. Things had been so tense ever since he started working at home. Down in the basement was his plants and weird machines. He hardly ever came up for air, and when he did, he wouldn't even catch a frisbee, or spend 2 minutes with either of them. Mom had noticed it too, Margaret thought, running full out and making another grandstand catch just before colliding with the side of the garage. Having Dad home has made Mom really tense, too. She pretends everything is fine, but I can tell she's really worried about him. Lucky catch, Fatso, Casey called. Wow, rude. Margaret hated the name Fatso, even more than she hated Princess. People in her family jokingly called her Fatso because she was so thin, like her father. She was also tall like him, but she had her mother's straight brown hair, brown eyes, and dark coloring. Don't call me that, she heaved the red disc at him. He caught it at his knees and flipped it back to her. They tossed it back and forth without saying much for another 10 or 15 minutes. I'm getting hot, Margaret said, shielding her eyes from the afternoon sun with her hand. Let's go in. Casey tossed the frisbee against the garage wall. It dropped onto the grass. He came trotting over to her. Dad always plays longer, he said peevishly. And he throws better. You throw like a girl. Give me a break, Margaret groaned, giving him a playful shove as they jogged to the back door. You throw like a chimpanzee. Faggot. How come Dad got fired? He asked. She blinked and stopped running. The question had caught her by surprise. Huh? His pale, freckled face turned serious. You know, I mean, why? he asked, obviously uncomfortable. She and Casey had never discussed this in the 4 weeks since Dad had been home, which was unusual since they're pretty close, being only a year apart. I mean, we all came all the way out here so he could find work at Polytech, right? Casey asked. Yeah, well, he got fired, Margaret said, half whispering in case her dad might be able to hear. But why? Did he blow up the lab or something? Casey grinned. The idea of his dad blowing up a huge campus science lab appealed to him. No, he didn't blow anything up, Margaret said, tugging at the strand of dark hair. Botanists work with plants, you know. They don't get much of a chance to blow things up. They both laughed. Casey followed her into the narrow strip of shade cast by the low ranch-style house. I'm not sure exactly what happened, Margaret continued, still half whispering, but I overheard Dad on the phone. I think he was talking to Mr. Martinez, his department head, remember? The quiet little man who came to dinner that night, the barbecue grill caught on fire? Casey nodded. Martinez fired Dad? Probably, Margaret whispered. From what I overheard, it was something to do with the plants Dad was growing. Some experiments that went horribly wrong, or horribly 420, am I right? Because he's growing the weeds, probably some mushrooms and stuff, you know? Peyote. But Dad's really smart, Casey insisted, as if Margaret were arguing with him. If his experiments went wrong, he'd know how to fix them. Margaret shrugged. That's all I know, she said. Come on, Casey. Let's go inside. I'm dying of thirst. She stuck her tongue out and moaned, demonstrating her dire need of liquid. You're gross, Casey said. He pulled open the screen door, then dodged in front of her so he could get inside first. Who's gross? Miss Brewer asked from the sink. She turned to greet the two of them. Don't answer that. Mom looks very tired today, Margaret thought, noticing the crisscross of fine lines at the corners of her mother's eye and the first strands of gray in her mother's shoulder-length brown hair. I hate this job, Miss Brewer said, turning back to the sink. What are you doing? Casey asked, pulling open the refrigerator and removing a box of juice. I'm deveining shrimp. Yuck, Margaret exclaimed. Thanks for the support, Miss Brewer said dryly. The phone rang. Wiping her shrimpy hands with a dish towel, she hurried across the room to pick up the phone. Margaret got a box of juice in the fridge, popped the straw into the top, and followed Casey into the front hallway. The basement door, usually shut tight when Dr. Brewster was working down there, was slightly ajar. Casey started to close it, then stopped. "Let's go down and see what Dad's doing," he suggested. Margaret sucked the last drops of juice through the straw and squeezed the empty box flat in her hand. Okay. She knew they probably shouldn't disturb their father, but her curiosity got the better of her. He had been working down there for 4 weeks now. All kinds of interesting equipment, lights, and plants had been delivered. Most days he spent at least 8 or 9 hours down there, doing whatever it was he was doing, and he hadn't shown it to them once. Yeah, let's go, Margaret said. It was their house too, after all. Besides, maybe their dad was just waiting for them to show some interest. Maybe he was hurt they hadn't bothered to come downstairs in all this time. She pulled the door open the rest of the way, and they stepped into the narrow hallway. Hey, Dad? Casey called excitedly. Dad, can we see? They were halfway down when their father appeared at the foot of the stairs. He glared up at them angrily. His skin strangely green under the fluorescent light fixture. He was holding his right hand, drops of red blood falling onto his white lab coat. Stay out of the basement! Like the title of the book. He bellowed in a voice that they'd never heard before. Both kids shrank back, surprised to hear their father scream like that. He was usually so mild and soft-spoken. Stay out of the basement! He repeated, holding his bleeding hand. Don't ever come down here. I am warning you.
Chapter 10.
Okay, all packed, Miss Brewer said, dropping her suitcase with a thud in the front hallway. She poked her head in the living room, where the TV was blaring. Do you think they could stop the movie for 1 minute to say goodbye to your mother? Casey pushed a button on the remote control and the screen went blank. He and Margaret obediently walked to the hallway to give their mother hugs. Margaret's friend, Diane Manning, who lived just around the corner, followed them into the hallway. "How long are you going to be gone, Miss Brewer?" she asked, her eyes on the two bulging suitcases. Miss Brewer replied fretfully. "My sister went into the hospital in Tucson this morning. I guess I'll have to stay until she's able to go home." "Well, I'll be glad to babysit for Casey and Margaret while you're away," Diane joked. "Give me a break," Margaret said, rolling her eyes. "I'm older than you are, Diane." "And I'm smarter than both of you," Casey added, with typical modesty. "I'm not worried about you kids," Miss Brewer said, glancing nervously at her watch. "I'm worried about your father." "Don't worry," Margaret told her seriously. "We'll take good care of him. Just make sure that he eats something once in a while," Miss Brewer said. "He's so obsessed with his work, he doesn't remember to eat unless you tell him. It's going to be really lonely around here without Mom," Margaret thought. "Dad hardly ever comes up from the basement. It's been 2 weeks since he yelled at Casey and her to stay out of the basement." They had been tiptoeing around ever since, afraid to get him angry again. But in the past 2 weeks, he had barely spoken to them, except for the occasional good morning and good night. "Don't worry about anything, Mom," she said, forcing a smile. "Just take care of Aunt Eleanor." "I'll call as soon as I get to Tucson," Miss Brewer said, nervously lowering her eyes to her watch again. She took 3 long strides to the basement door, then shouted down, "Michael, time to take me to the airport." After a long wait, Dr. Brewer called up a reply. Then Miss Brewer turned back to the kids. "Think he'll even notice I'm gone?" she asked in a loud whisper. She meant it to be a light remark, but her eyes revealed some sadness. A few seconds later, they heard footsteps on the basement stairs, and their dad appeared. He put it off his stained lab coat. Putted? Is that... revealing tan slacks and a bright yellow t-shirt, and tossed the lab coat on the banister. Even though it was 2 weeks later, his right hand, the hand that had been bleeding, was still heavily bandaged. "Ready?" he asked his wife. Miss Brewer sighed, "I guess." She gave Margaret and Casey a helpless look, then moved quickly to give them each one last hug. "Let's go then," Dr. Brewer said impatiently. He picked up the two bags and groaned. "Wow, how long are you planning to stay? A year?" Then he headed out the front door with them, not waiting for an answer. "Bye, Miss Brewer," Diane said, waving. "Have a good trip." "How can she have a good trip?" Casey asked sharply. "Her sister's in the fucking hospital. Show some sensitivity, dumb bitch." "You know what I mean," Diane replied, tossing back her long red hair and rolling her eyes. They watched the station wagon roll down the driveway, then return to the living room. Casey picked up the remote control and started the movie. Diane sprawled on the couch and picked up the bag of potato chips she'd been eating. "Who picked this movie?" Diane asked, crinkling the foil bag noisily. "I did," Casey said. "It's neat." He had pulled a couch cushion down to the living room carpet and was lying on it. Margaret was sitting cross-legged on the floor, her back against the base of the armchair, still thinking about her mother and her Aunt Eleanor. "It's neat if you like to see a lot of people blown up and their guts flying all over," she said, making a face for Diane's benefit. "Yeah, it's neat," Casey said, not taking his eyes off the glowing TV screen. "I've got so much homework. I don't know why I'm sitting here," Diane said, reaching her chubby little sausage fingers into the potato chip bag. "Me too," Margaret sighed. "I guess I'll do it after dinner. Do you have the math assignment? I think I left my math book at school." "Shh," Casey hissed, kicking a sneaker foot into Margaret's general direction. "This is the good part. You seen this tape before?" Diane shrieked. "Twice," Casey admitted. He ducked, and the sofa pillow Diane threw sailed right over his head. "It's pretty afternoon," Margaret said, stretching her arms above her head. "Maybe we should go outside, you know, ride bikes or something." "You think you're still back in Michigan? It's always a pretty afternoon here," Diane said, chewing loudly. "Why would you hang out with Diane? She seems just absolutely awful. Anyway, I don't even notice it anymore." "Maybe we should do the math assignment together," Margaret suggested hopefully. Diane was much better at math than she was. Diane shrugged. "Yeah, maybe." She crinkled up the bag and set it on the floor. "Your dad looked kind of nervous, you know." "Huh? What do you mean? Just nervous," Diane said. "How's he doing?" Casey insisted, picking up the potato chip bag and tossing it at Diane. You know, being laid off and all. I guess he's okay, Margaret said wistfully. I don't know, really. He spends all his time in the basement with his experiments. Experiments? Hey, let's take a look. Tossing her hair back behind her shoulders, Diane jumped from the chrome and white leather couch. Diane was a science freak. Math and science, the two subjects Margaret hated. The two races she hated were Hispanics and Filipinos. That's just a side note. Anyway, she should have been in the Brewer family, Margaret thought with a trace of bitterness. Maybe Dad would pay some attention to her since she's so into the same things as he is. Come on, Diane urged, bending over to pull Margaret up from the floor. He's a botanist, right? What's he doing down there? It's complicated, Margaret said, shouting over the explosions and gunfire on TV. He tried to explain it to me once, but Margaret allowed Diane to pull her to her feet. Shut up, Casey yelled, staring at the movie, the colors from the screen reflected over his clothes. Is he building a Frankenstein monster or something? Diane demanded. Or some kind of RoboCop? That would be cool, wouldn't it? Shut up, Casey repeated shrilly as Arnold Schwarzenegger bounded across the screen. He's got all these machines and plants down there, Margaret said uncomfortably. But he does not want us to go down there. Huh? It's like top secret? Diane's emerald green eyes lit up with excitement. Come on, we'll just take a pic. No, I don't think so, Margaret told her. She couldn't forget the angry look on her father's face 2 weeks before when she and Casey had tried to pay a visit, or the way he had screamed at them to never come down to the basement. Come on, I dare you, Diane challenged. Are you chicken? I am not, Margaret insisted shrilly. Diane was always daring her to do things she didn't want to, like touch her no-no area. Why is it so important for Diane to think she's so much braver than everyone else? Margaret wondered. Chicken, Diane repeated, tossing her mane of red hair behind her shoulder. She strode quickly towards the basement door. Diane, stop, Margaret cried, following after her. Hey, wait, Casey cried, clicking off the movie. Are we going downstairs? Wait for me. He climbed quickly to his feet and enthusiastically hurried to join them at the basement door. We can't, Margaret started, but Diane clamped a hand over her mouth. We'll just take a quick peek, Diane insisted. We'll just look. We won't touch anything, and then we'll come right back upstairs. Okay, I'll go first, Casey said, grabbing for the doorknob. Why do you want to do this? Margaret asked her friend. Why are you so eager to go down there? Diane shrugged. Bit's doing our mouth, she replied, grinning. Margaret sighed, defeated. Okay, let's go. But remember, just looking, no touching, like when you showed me your no-no area. Casey pulled open the door and led the way to the stairway. Stepping onto the landing, they were immediately engulfed in hot, steamy air. They could hear the buzz and the hum of electronic machinery, and off to the right, they could see the glare of a bright white lights from Dr. Brewer's workroom. This is kind of fun, Margaret thought, as the three of them made their way down the linoleum-covered stairway. It's an adventure. There's no harm in taking a peek. So why was her heart pounding? Why'd she have this sudden tingle of fear? Chapter 3. Yuck, it's so hot in here. As they stepped away from the stairs, the air became unbearably hot and thick. Margaret gasped. The sudden change in temperature was suffocating. It's so moist, Diane said. Good for your hair and skin. We studied the rainforest in school, Casey said. Maybe Dad's building a fucking rainforest. Maybe, Margaret said uncertainly. Why did she feel so strange? Was it just because they were invading their father's domain? Doing something he'd told them not to do? She held back, gazing in both directions. The basement was divided into two large rectangular rooms. To the left, an unfinished rec room stood in darkness. She could barely make out the outlines of the ping pong table in the center of the room. The workroom to the right was brightly lit. So bright they had to blink and wait for their eyes to adjust. Beams of white light poured down from the large halogen lamps on the tracks of the ceilings. What is up with R.L. Stine and halogen? He's fucking into it. "Wow, look!" Casey cried, his eyes wide open as they stepped excitedly towards the light. Reaching up towards the lights were shiny, tall plants, dozens of them, thick-stalked and broad leaves, planted close together in an enormous, low trough of soil. "It's like a jungle," Margaret exclaimed, following Casey into the white glare. The plants, in fact, resembled jungle plants. Leafy vines and tall, tree-like plants with long, slender tendrils. Fragile-looking ferns. Plants with gnarled, cream-colored roots poking up like bony knees from the soil.
"It's like a swamp or something," Diane said.
"Did your father really grow these in just like 5 or 6 weeks?
"Yeah, I'm pretty sure," Margaret replied, staring at the enormous red tomatoes on the slender yellow stalk.
Feel this one," Diane said. Margaret glanced over to find her friend rubbing her hand over a large flat leaf, the shape of a teardrop.
"Diane, we shouldn't touch."
I know, Diane said, not letting go of the leaf.
"But just rub your hand on it."
Margaret reluctantly obeyed. "It doesn't feel like a leaf," she said as Diane moved over to examine a large fern. "It's so smooth, like glass." The three of them stood under the bright white lights, examining the plants for several minutes, touching the thick stalks, running their hands over the smooth, warm leaves, surprised by the enormous size of the fruits some of the plants had produced.
"It's too hot down here," Casey complained. He pulled his t-shirt off, revealing his situation-esque chest, and dropped it to the floor.
"What a bod," Diane teased him. Total J-Wow move. He stuck his tongue out at her. Then his pale blue eyes grew wide, and he seemed to freeze in surprise.
"Hey!
Casey, what's the matter?" Margaret asked, hurrying over to him.
"This one," he pointed to a tall, tree-like plant.
"It's breathing."
Diane laughed.
But Margaret heard it, too. She grabbed Casey's bare shoulder and listened.
Yes, she could hear it breathing, and they seemed to be coming from the tall, leafy tree.
"What's your problem?" Diane asked, seeing the amazed expression on Casey and Margaret's faces.
"Casey's right," Margaret said, listening to the steady, rhythmic sound. "You can actually hear it breathing."
Diane rolled her eyes. "Maybe it has a cold. Maybe it's a vine is like stuffed up or something like that." She laughed at her own joke. It wasn't funny, but her two companions did not join in.
"I don't hear it," she moved closer. All three of them listened.
Silence.
"It stopped," Margaret said.
"Stop it, you two," Diane scolded.
"You are not going to scare me."
"No, really," Margaret protested.
"Hey, look at this." Casey had already moved on to something else. He was standing in front of a tall glass case that stood on the other side of the plants. It looked a little like a phone booth.
"Excellent!"
With a shelf inside, about shoulder high, and dozens of wires attached to the back and sides. Margaret's eyes followed the wires to a similar glass booth a few feet away.
Some kind of electrical generator stood between the two booths and appeared to be connected to both of them.
"What could it be?" Diane asked, hurrying over to Casey.
"Don't touch it," Margaret warned, giving the breathing plant one final glance, then joined the others. But Casey reached out to the glass door on the front of the booth.
"I just want to see if it opens," he said. He grabbed the glass and his eyes went wide with shock. His entire body began to shake and vibrate. His head jerked wildly from side to side. His eyes rolled up into his head.
"Oh, help!" he managed to cry, his body vibrating and shaking harder and faster.
"Help me! I can't stop!"
"Oh, wow. Whew, it's getting intense, you know? It's kind of event horizon-y, am I right?"
Chapter 4. "Help me!" Casey's whole body shook as the electrical current were charging through him. His head jerked on his shoulders, and his eyes looked wild and dazed.
"Please!"
Margaret and Diane stared in open-mouthed horror. Margaret was the first to move. She lunged at Casey and reached out to try to pull him away from the glass.
"Margaret, don't!"
Diane screamed.
"Don't touch him!"
"But we have to do something," Margaret cried. It took both girls a while to realize Casey had just stopped shaking and was laughing.
"Casey?" Margaret asked, staring at him.
her terrified expression fading to astonishment. He was leaning against the glass, his body still now, his mouth wrapped in a broad, mischievous grin. "Gotcha," he declared, and then began to laugh even harder, pointing at them and repeating the phrase, his triumphant laughter. "Gotcha!
Gotcha!"
"That wasn't funny," Margaret screamed. "You are faking it, I don't believe it," Diane cried, her face as pale as the white lights above them, her lower lip trembling. Both girls leapt onto Casey and pressed him to the floor. Margaret sat on top of him while Diane held his shoulders down. "Gotcha, gotcha," he continued, stopping only when Margaret tickled his stomach so hard he couldn't talk. "You rat," Diane cried, "you little rat." The free-for-all was brought to a sudden halt by a low moan from across the room. All three kids raised their heads and stared in the direction of the sound. The large basement was silent now, except for their heavy breathing. "What was that?" Diane whispered. They listened. Another low moan. A mournful sound, muffled like air through a saxophone. The tendrils of a tree-like plant suddenly drooped, like snakes lowering themselves onto the ground. Another low, sad moan. "It's the plants," Casey said, his expression frightened now. He pushed his sister off him and climbed to his feet, brushing back his disheveled blonde hair as he stood up.
"Plants don't cry, man," Diane said.
You know, I could lie to you because this is a recording and you can't see anything, but I feel like there's a level of trust between the podcast creator, me, the Dune that reads the Dune reads Goosebumps, and the listener, the one who experiences me reading Goosebumps. But, you know, I need this level of trust here, so I am drinking a natural ice. Diane said, her eyes on the vast trough of plants that filled the room. "These do," Margaret said. Tendrils moved like human arms shifting their position. They could hear breathing again, slow, steady breathing. Then a sigh, like air escaping. Let's get out of here, Casey said, edging towards the stairs. It's definitely creepy down here, Diane said, following him, her eyes remaining on the shifting, moaning plants. I'm sure Dad could explain this, Margaret said. Her words were calm, but her voice trembled, and she was backing out of the room, following Diane and Casey.
Your dad is weird, Diane said, reaching the doorway.
No, he isn't, Casey quickly insisted. He's doing important work down here. A tall tree-like plant sighed and appeared to bend towards them, raising its tendrils as if beckoning to them, calling them back. Let's get out of here, Margaret exclaimed. All three of them were out of breath by the time they ran up the stairs. Casey closed the door tightly, making sure it clicked shut.
Weird, Diane repeated, playing nervously with a strand of her long red hair.
Definitely weird. It was her word of the day, but Margaret had to admit it was appropriate. Well, Dad warned us not to go down there, Margaret said, struggling to catch her breath. I guess he knew it would look scary to us and we wouldn't understand.
I'm getting out of here, Diane said, only half kidding.
She stepped out of the large screen door and turned back to them.
Want to go over that math later?
Yeah, sure, Margaret said, still thinking about the moaning, shifting plants. Some of them had seemed to reach out to them, crying out to them, but of course, that was impossible.
Later,
Diane said and headed at a trot down the drive, so Dune no longer has to do her stupid-ass voice. Just as she disappeared, their father's dark blue station wagon turned the corner and started up the drive. Back from the airport, Margaret said. She turned from the door, back to Casey, a few yards behind her in the hallways.
Is the basement door closed?
Yeah, Casey replied, looking to make sure. No way Dad will know we... He stopped. His mouth dropped open, but no sound came out. His face went pale. My t-shirt, Casey exclaimed, slapping his bare chest. I left it in the basement.
Don't stop, pop that pussy, let me see that chapter 5.
I've got to go get it, Casey said. Otherwise, Dad'll know. It's too late, Margaret interrupted, her eyes on the driveway. He's already pulled up the drive.
It'll only take a second, Casey insisted, his hand on the basement knob.
I'll run down and run right up. No, Margaret stood tensely in the center of the narrow hallway, halfway between the front door and the basement door, her eyes toward the front.
He's parked. He's getting out of the car.
But he'll know. He'll know, Casey cried, his voice high and whiny.
So?
Remember how mad he got last time? Casey asked. Of course I remember, Margaret replied. But he's not going to kill us. Casey, just because we took a peek at his plants, he's... Margaret stopped. She moved close to the screen door. Hey, wait, what's going on? Casey asked. Hurry! Margaret turned and gestured with both hands. Go downstairs, fast! Mr. Henry from next door, he stopped Dad! They're talking about something in the drive! With a loud cry, Casey flung open the basement door and disappeared. Margaret heard him clumping rapidly down the stairs. Then she heard his footsteps fade as he hurried into their father's workroom. Hurry, Casey, she thought, standing guard at the front door, watching her father... shielding his eyes from the sun with one hand as he talked to Mr. Henry. Hurry. You know Dad never talks for long with the neighbors. Mr. Henry seemed to be doing all the talking, probably asking Dad for some kind of favor, Margaret thought. Mr. Henry wasn't handy at all, not like Dr. Brewer. And so he always asked Margaret's dad to come over and help repair or install things. Her father was nodding now, a tight smile on his face. Harry? Casey? Really? Is there a fucking another typo? Harry, Casey? No. Hurry, Casey. I swear to God, it's a typo. It wasn't just me. Get back up here. Where are you? Still shielding his eyes. That was me. Dr. Brewer gave Mr. Henry a quick wave. Then both men spun around and began walking quickly towards their houses. Hurry, Casey. Casey, he's coming. Hurry, Margaret urged silently. It didn't take this long to pick up your shirt from the floor and run up the stairs. It shouldn't take this long. Her dad was on the front walk now. He spotted her in the doorway and waved. Margaret returned the wave and looked back through the hallway to the basement door. Casey, where are you? She called aloud. No reply. No sound from the basement. No sound at all. Dr. Brewer had paused outside to inspect the rose bushes at the head of the front walk. Casey? Margaret called. Still no reply. Casey, hurry! Silence. Her father was crouching down, doing something to the soil beneath the rose bushes. With a feeling of dread weighing down her entire body, Margaret realized she had no choice. She had to go downstairs and see what was keeping Casey. Whew, it's getting intense. You know, Dad is right there at the rose bushes. What is Margaret thinking going down there, following Casey? You know, if Casey's in deep shit, that's his own fucking problem. But Margaret shouldn't get in trouble, too. Chapter 6. Casey ran down the steps, leaning on the metal banister so that he could jump down two steps at a time. He landed hard on the cement basement floor and started darting to the bright white light of the plant room. Stopping at the entrance, he waited for his eyes to adjust to the brighter than daylight. He took a deep breath, inhaling the steamy air and held it. It was so hot down here, so sticky. His back began to itch. The back of his neck tingled. The jungle of plants stood as if at attention under the bright white lights. He saw his t-shirt lying crumpled on the floor, a few feet from a tall leafy tree. The tree seemed to lean toward the t-shirt, its long tendrils hanging down, loosely coiled in the soil around its trunk. Casey took a timid step into the room. Why am I so afraid? He wondered. It's just a room filled with strange plants. Why do I have this feeling that they're watching me, waiting for me? He scolded himself for being so afraid and took a few steps toward the crumpled t-shirt on the floor. Hey, wait, the breathing. There it was again. Steady breathing. Not too loud. Not too soft, either. Who could be breathing? What could be breathing? Was the big tree breathing? Casey stared at the shirt on the floor, so near. What was keeping him from grabbing and running him back upstairs? What was holding him back? He took a step forward, then another. Was the breathing growing louder? He jumped, startled by a sudden low moan from the big supply closet against the wall. It sounded so human, as if someone were in there, moaning in pain. Casey, where are you? Margaret's voice sounded so far away, even though she was just at the head of the stairs. Okay, so far, he called back to her, but his voice came out in a whisper. She probably couldn't hear him at all. He took another step. Another! The shirt was about 3 yards away. A quick dash, a quick dive, and then you have it. Another low moan from the supply closet. A plant seemed to sigh. A tall fern suddenly dipped low, shifting its leaves. Casey, he could hear his sister from the top of the stairs sounding so worried. Casey, hurry. I'm trying, he thought. I'm trying to hurry. What was holding him back? Another low moan, this time from another side of the room. He took two more steps, then crouched low, his arms straight out in front of him. The shirt was almost within reach. He heard a groaning sound, then more breathing. He raised his eyes to the tall tree. The long, ropey tendrils had tensed, stiffened, or had he just imagined it? No! They had been dropping loosely, drooping also. Now they were taut, ready. Ready to grab him? Casey, hurry, Margaret called. Sound even farther away. He didn't answer. He was concentrating on the shirt. Just a few feet away. Just a few feet. Just a foot. The plant groaned again. Casey! Casey! The leaves quivered all the way up the trunk. Just a foot away, almost in reach. Casey, are you okay? Answer me. He grabbed the shirt. Two snake-like tendrils swung around at him.
You're gonna keep doing that? You're gonna keep itching yourself? That's really rude, Franklin. Go back to sleep.
Great. Lost my place. He grabbed the shirt. Okay. Two snake-like tendrils swung out at him. Huh? He cried, paralyzed with fear. What's happening? The tendrils wrapped themselves around his waist. Let go, he cried, holding the t-shirt tightly in one hand, grabbing at the tendrils with the others. The tendrils hung and gently tightening around him. Margaret, Casey tried calling, but no sound came out of his mouth. Margaret? He jerked violently, then pulled straight ahead. The tendrils held on. They didn't squeeze him. They weren't trying to strangle him or pull him back, but they didn't let go. They felt warm and wet against his bare skin, like animal arms, not like a plant. Help! He again tried to shout. He pulled once more, leaning forward, using all of his strength. No good. He ducked low, hit the floor, tried to roll away. The tendrils hung on. The plant uttered a loud sigh. Let go. Go, Casey cried, finally finding his voice. Then suddenly Margaret was standing beside him. He hadn't heard her come down the stairs. He hadn't seen her enter the room. Casey, she cried, what's... Her mouth dropped open and her eyes grew wide. It won't let go, he told her. No, she screamed and grabbed one of the tendrils with both hands and tugged with all of her strength. The tendril resisted for only a moment, then went slack. Casey uttered a joyful cry and spun away from the remaining tendril. Margaret dropped the tendril and grabbed Casey's hand and began running toward the stairs. Oh! They both stopped short at the bottom of the stairway. Standing at the top was their father, glaring down at them, his hands balled into tight fists at his side, his face rigid with fucking anger. He was like, Andrew W.K.
Chapter 7.
Dad, the plants, Margaret cried. He stared down at them, his eyes cold and angry, unblinking. He was silent. It grabbed Casey, Margaret told them. I just went down there to get my shirt, Casey said, his voice trembling. They stared up at him expectantly, waiting for him to move, to unball his fist, to relax his hard expression, to speak. But he glared down at them for the longest time. Finally said, you're okay? Yeah, they said in unison, both of them nodding. Margaret realized he was still holding Casey's hand. She was still holding Casey's hand. He was holding his fists. She let go of it and reached for the banister. I'm very disappointed in you both, Dr. Brewster said in a low, flat voice. Cool, but not angry. Sorry, Margaret said. We knew we shouldn't. We didn't touch anything, really, Casey exclaimed. Very disappointed, their father repeated. Sorry, Dad. Dr. Brewster motioned for them to come upstairs. Then he stepped into the hallway. I thought he was going to yell at us, Casey whispered to Margaret as he followed her up the steps. That's not Dad's steez, Margaret whispered back. He sure yelled at us the last time we started into the basement, Casey replied. They followed their father into the kitchen. He motioned for them to sit down at the white formica table, then dropped into his chair across from them. His eyes went from one to the other, as if studying them, as if seeing them for the first time. His expression was totally flat, totally like Margaret's chest, almost robot-like, revealing no emotion at all. Dad, what's with those plants? Casey asked. What do you mean? Dr. Brewster asked. They're so weird, Casey said. I'll explain them to you someday,
he said flatly, still staring at the two of them. It looks very interesting, Margaret said, struggling to find the right thing. Was her dad trying to make them feel uncomfortable, she wondered? If so, he was doing a good job of it. This wasn't like him, not at all. He was always a very direct person, Margaret thought. If he was angry, he'd say he was angry. If he was upset, he'd tell them he was upset. If he was horny, he would let them know. So why was he acting so strange, so silent, so cold? I asked you not to go in the basement, he said quietly, crossing his legs and leaning back so the kitchen chair tilted back on two legs. I thought I made it clear. Margaret and Casey glanced at each other. Finally, Margaret said, we won't do it again. But can you take us down there and tell us what you're doing? Casey asked. He still hadn't put the t-shirt on. He was holding it in a ball between his hands on the kitchen table. Yeah, we'd really like to understand, Margaret added enthusiastically. Someday, their father said. He returned the chair to all four legs, then stood up. We'll do it soon, okay? He raised his arms above his head and stretched. I've got to get back to work. He disappeared in the front hallway. Casey raised his eyes to Margaret and shrugged. Their father reappeared carrying the lab coat he had tossed over the front banister. Mom got off okay? Margaret asked. He nodded. I guess. He pulled on the lab coat. I hope Aunt Eleanor is okay, Margaret said. Dr. Brewer's reply was muffled as he adjusted the lab coat and straightened the collar. Later, he said. He disappeared in the hallway. They heard him shut the basement door behind him. I guess he's not going to ground us or anything. I guess that's good, Margaret said, leaning against the table and resting her chin in her hands. I guess, Casey said. He sure is acting weird. Maybe he's upset because Mom's gone, Margaret said. She sat up and gave Casey a push. Come on, get up. I've got work to do. I can't believe that plant grabbed me, Casey said thoughtfully, not budging. You don't have to push, Casey gripped, but he climbed to his feet. Oh, he griped. That makes sense. Well, I don't know what he's gripping on. He climbed to his feet and stepped out of Margaret's way. I'm going to have bad dreams tonight, he said glumly. Just don't think about the basement, Margaret advised. That's really lame advice, she told herself, but what else could she say? She went up to her room, thinking about how she missed her mother already. Then the scene in the basement with Casey, trying to pull himself free of the enormous, twining plant's tendrils playing once again through her mind. With a shudder, she grabbed her textbook and threw herself onto her bed, prepared to read. But the words on the page blurred as the moaning, breathing plants kept creeping back into her thoughts. At least we're not being punished for going down there, she thought. At least Dad didn't yell and frighten us this time. And at least Dad has promised to take us downstairs with him soon and explain to us what he's working on down there. That thought made Margaret feel a lot better. She felt better until the next morning when she awoke early and went downstairs to make some breakfast. To her surprise, her father was already at work. The basement door was shut tight, and a lock had been installed on the door. The next Saturday afternoon, Margaret was up in her room, lying on top of the bed, talking to her mom on the phone. I'm really sorry about Aunt Eleanor, she said, twisting the white phone cord around her wrist. The surgery did not go as well as expected, her mother said. Sounding very tired, the doctors say she may have to have more surgery, but they have to build up her strength first. I guess this means you won't be coming home real soon, Margaret said sadly. Mrs. Brewer laughed. Don't tell me you actually miss me. Well, yes, Margaret admitted. She raised her eyes to the bedroom window. Two sparrows had landed outside on the window ledge and were chattering excitedly, distracting Margaret, making it hard to hear her mother over the crackling line from Tucson. How's your father doing? Miss Brewer asked. I spoke to him last night, but he only grunted. Tim the Dual Man Taylor. He doesn't even grunt to us, Margaret complained. She held her hand over her ear to drown out the chattering birds. He hardly says a word. He's working really hard, Miss Brewer replied. In the background, Margaret could hear some kind of loudspeaker announcement. Her mother was calling from a payphone at the hospital.
He never comes out of the basement, Margaret complained, a little more bitterly than she had intended. Your father's experiments are very important to him, her mother said. More important than we are, Margaret cried. She hated the whiny tone in her voice. She wished she hadn't started complaining about her dad over the phone. Her mother had enough to worry about at the hospital. Margaret knew she shouldn't make her feel even worse. Your dad has a lot to prove, Mrs. Brewer said, to himself and to others. I think he's working so hard because he wants to prove to Mr. Martinez and the others at the university that they are wrong to fire him. He wants to show them that they made a big mistake. But we used to see him more before he was home all the time. Margaret complained. She could hear her mother sigh impatiently. Margaret, I'm trying to explain to you. You're not old enough to understand. I'm sorry, Margaret said quickly. She decided to change the subject. He's wearing a baseball cap all of a sudden. Who, Casey? No, Mom, Margaret replied. Dad, he's wearing a Dodgers cap. He never takes it off. Really? Miss Brewer sounded very surprised. Margaret laughed. We told him he looks really dorky in it, but he refuses to take it off. Mrs. Brewer laughed too. Uh-oh, I'm being called, she said. Got to run. Take care, dear. I'll try to call back later. A click and she was gone. Margaret stared at the ceiling, watching shadows from the trees in the front yard move back and forth. The sparrows had flown away, leaving silence behind. Poor Mom, Margaret thought. She's so worried about her sister, and I had to go complain about Dad. Why did I do that? She sat up, listening to the silence. Casey was over at a friend's. Her dad was no doubt working in the basement. The door carefully locked behind him. Maybe I'll give Diane a call, Margaret thought. Oh, no. She reached for the phone, then realized she was hungry. Lunch first, she decided, then Diane. She brushed her dark hair quickly, shaking her head at the mirror over her dresser table, then hurried downstairs. To her surprise, her dad was in the kitchen. He was huddled over the sink, his back to her. She called out to him, but stopped. What was he doing? Curious, she pressed against the wall, gazing at him through the doorway to the kitchen. Mr. Brewer appeared to be eating something with one hand. He was holding a bag on the counter beside him. As Margaret watched in surprise, he dipped his hand into the bag, pulled out a big handful of something, and shoved it in his mouth. Margaret watched him chew hungrily, noisily, then pull out another handful from the bag and eat it greedily. What on earth was she eating? He eating? She wondered. He ate. He never eats with Casey and me. He's always saying he isn't hungry, but he sure is hungry now. He acts as if he's starving. She watched from the doorway as Dr. Brewer continued to grab a handful after handful from the bag, gulping down his solitary meal. After a while, he crinkled the bag and tossed it in the trash can under the sink. Then he wiped his hands off on the sides of his white lab coat. Margaret quickly backed away from the door, tiptoed through the hall, and ducked into the living room. She held her breath as her father came into the hall, clearing his throat loudly. The basement door closed behind him. She heard him carefully lock it. When she was sure that he had gone downstairs, Margaret walked eagerly into the kitchen. She had to know what her father had been eating so greedily, so hungrily. She pulled open the sink cabinet, reached into the trash, and pulled out the crinkled bag. She gasped out loud as her eyes ran over the label. Her father, she saw, had been devouring plant food. Wow, that's not people food. Chapter 8. Margaret swallowed hard. Her mouth felt dry as cotton. She suddenly realized she was squeezing the side of the counter so tightly her hand ached. Forcing herself to loosen her grip, she stared down at the half-empty plant food bag, which she had dropped on the floor. She felt sick. She couldn't get the disgusting picture out of her mind. How could her daddy eat mud? He didn't just eat it, she realized. He shoveled it into his mouth. He gulped it down as if he really, 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 really liked it, as if he needed it. Eating the plant food had to be part of his experiments, Margaret told herself. But what kind of experiments? What was he trying to prove with those strange plants he was growing? The stuff inside that bag smelled sour, like fertilizer. Margaret took a deep breath and held it. She suddenly felt sick to her stomach. Staring at the bag, she couldn't help but imagine what the disgusting muck inside must taste like. She nearly gagged. How could her own father shove this horrid stuff into his mouth? Still holding her breath, she grabbed the nearly empty bag, wadded it up, and tossed it back in the trash. She started to turn away from the counter when a hand grabbed her shoulder. Margaret uttered a silent cry and spun around. Casey! I'm home, he said, grinning at her. What's for lunch? Later, after making him a peanut butter sandwich, she told Casey what she had seen. Casey laughed. It isn't funny, she said crossly. Our own dad was eating dirt. Casey laughed again. For some reason, it struck him funny. Margaret punched him hard in the shoulder, so hard that he dropped his sandwich. Sorry, she said quickly, but I don't see what you're laughing at. It's sick. There's something wrong with that. Something really wrong. Maybe he's just got a craving for plant food. Casey cracked, still not taking her seriously. You know, like you don't get a craving for those honey roasted peanuts. That's different, Margaret snapped. Eating dirt is disgusting. Why won't you admit it? But before Casey could reply, Margaret continued, letting all of her unhappiness out at once. Don't you see? Dad has changed a lot. Even since Mom has been gone, he spends even more time in the basement. That's because Mom isn't around to give him blowjobs, Casey interrupted. And he's so quiet all the time. I apologize for that blowjob. It was like a side comment. It wasn't funny. I apologize. That was tasteless. It wasn't funny.
Your mom.
Anyway. And he's so quiet all the time and so cold to us, Margaret continued, ignoring him. He hardly says a word to us. He used to kid around all the time and ask us about our homework. He never says a human word. He never calls me Princess or Fatso the way he used to. He never. You hate those names, Fatso, Casey said, giggling with a mouthful of peanut butter. I know, Margaret said impatiently. That's just an example. So what are you trying to say, Casey asked. The dad is out of his tree? That he's gone totally bananas? Cuckoo bananas? I don't know, Margaret answered in frustration, watching him gulp down that disgusting plant food. I had this horrible thought that he's turned into a plant. Casey jumped up, causing his chair to scrape back across the floor. He began staggering around the kitchen, zombie-like, his eyes closed, his arms stretched out stiffly in front of him.
I am the incredible plant man, he declared, trying to make his voice sound bold and deep like Dune Murderous's.
Not funny, Margaret insisted, crossing her arms over her chest, refusing to be amused.
Plant man versus weed woman.
Because 420, you dog, you know what I'm saying?
Casey declared, staggering towards Margaret. Not funny, she repeated. He bumped into the counter, banging his knee. Ow! Serves you right, Margaret said.
Plant man kills, he cried,
and rushed at her. He ran right into her, using his head as a battering ram against her shoulder. Casey, will you stop it? She screamed. Give me a break.
Okay, he backed off.
If you'll do me one favor.
What favor? Margaret asked, rolling her eyes.
Make me another sandwich.
Woman?
Monday afternoon, after school, Margaret, Casey, and Diane were tossing a frisbee back and forth in Diane's backyard. It was a warm, breezy day, the sky dotted with small, puffy white clouds. Diane tossed the disc high and sailed over Casey's head into the row of fragrant lemon trees that stretched from behind the clapboard garage. Casey went running after it and tripped over an in-ground sprinkler that poked up just an inch above the lawn. Both girls laughed. Casey, on the run, flung the frisbee towards Margaret. She reached for it, but the breeze sent it sailing from her hand.
What's it like to have a mad scientist for a dad? Diane asked suddenly.
What?
Margaret wasn't sure she had heard right.
Don't just stand there, throw it, Casey urged from beside the garage.
Margaret tossed the frisbee high in the air in her brother's general direction.
He liked to run and make diving catches. Just because he's doing strange experiments doesn't mean he's a mad scientist, Margaret said sharply.
Strange is right, Diane said, her expression turning serious. I had a nightmare last night about those gross plants in your basement. They were crying and, like, reaching for me.
Sorry, Margaret said sincerely. I've had nightmares, too. Look out, Casey cried. He tossed a low one that Diane caught around her ankles. Mad scientist, Margaret thought. Mad scientist? Mad scientist? The words kept repeating in her mind. Mad scientists were only in movies, right?
My dad was talking about your dad the other night, Diane said, flipping the disc to Casey.
You didn't tell anyone about going down into the basement, did you? Margaret asked anxiously.
No,
Diane replied, shaking her head. Hey, are those lemons ripe? Casey asked, pointing at one of the low trees.
Why don't you suck one to find out, you dumb idiot, fucking moron, stupid jerk?
Margaret snapped, annoyed that he kept interrupting.
Why don't you?
Good stuff. He predictably shot back.
My dad said that your dad was fired from Polytech because his experiments got out of control and he wouldn't stop them,
Diane confided. She ran along the smooth, closely cropped grass. Chasing down the frisbee. What do you mean? Margaret asked.
The university told him that he had to stop whatever it was he was doing, and he refused. He said he couldn't stop. At least that's what my dad heard from a guy who came into the sales room.
Margaret hadn't heard this story. It made her feel bad, but she thought it probably was true.
Something really bad happened in your dad's lab, she continued. Someone, got really hurt or killed or something.
That's not true, Margaret insisted. We would have heard if that happened.
Yeah, probably, Diane admitted. But my dad said your dad was fired because he refused to stop his experiments.
Well, that doesn't make him a mad scientist, Margaret said defensively. She suddenly felt she had to stick up for her father. She wasn't sure why.
I'm just telling you what I heard, Diane said,
brusquely tossing back her red hair.
You don't have to bite my head off.
They played for a few minutes. Diane changed the subject and then talked about some kids they knew who were 11 but were going steady. Then they talked about school for a while. Time to go, Margaret called to Casey. He picked the frisbee up from the lawn and came running over.
Call you later,
Margaret told Diane, giving a little wave. Then she and Casey began to jog home, cutting through familiar yards.
We need a lemon tree, Casey said as they slowed to a walk. They're cool.
Oh, yeah, Margaret replied sarcastically. That's just what we need at our house, another plant. As they stepped through the hedges into their backyard, they were both surprised to see their dad. He was standing at the rose trellis, examining the cluster of pink roses.
Hey, Dad,
Casey yelled. Catch! He tossed the frisbee to his father. Dr. Brewster turned around a little too slowly. The frisbee glanced off his head, knocking the Dodger's hat off. His mouth opened wide in surprise. He raised his hands to cover his head, but it was too late! Margaret and Casey both shrieked in surprise as they saw his head. At first, Margaret thought her father's hair had turned green, but then clearly saw that it wasn't hair on his scalp. His hair was gone. It had all fallen out. In place of hair, Dr. Brewer had bright green leaves sprouting from his head!
Ridiculous.
Oh, man.
All right, stop. Chapter 9 and listen. Kids, it's okay, Dr. Brewer called. He bent down quickly, picked up his baseball cap, and replaced it on his head. A crow flew low overhead, cawing loudly. Margaret raised her eyes to follow the bird, but the sight of the hideous leaves sprouting from her father's head wouldn't go away. Her whole head began to itch as she imagined what it must feel like to have leaves uncurling from your scalp. It's okay, really, Dr. Brewer repeated, hurrying over to them. But Dad, your head, Casey stammered. He suddenly looked very pale. Margaret felt sick. She kept swallowing hard, trying to ride out the waves of nausea.
I'm getting a phone call, jealous. I need to go answer it.
Hey-o!
Recording some goosebumps?
Let me pause this.
All right, I'm back. Come here, you two, their father said softly, putting an arm around each of their shoulders.
Let's sit down in the shade over there and have a talk. I spoke to your mom on the phone this morning. She told me you're upset about my work. Your head, it's all green,
Casey repeated.
I know, Dr. Brewer said, smiling.
That's why I put on the cap. I didn't want you two to worry.
He led them to the shade of the tall hedges that ran along the garage, and they sat down in the grass. I guess you two think your dad has gone pretty weird, huh? He stared into Margaret's eyes. Feeling uncomfortable, she looked away. Cawing frantically, the crow flew over again, heading in the other direction.
Margaret, you haven't said a word, her father said, squeezing her hand tenderly between his. What's wrong? What do you want me to say? Margaret sighed and still avoided her father's glance. Come on, tell us. Why do you have leaves growing out of your head? She said bluntly. It's a side effect, he told her, continuing to hold her hand. It's only temporary. It'll go away soon and my hair will grow back. But how did it happen? Casey asked, staring at his father's Dodgers cap, a few green leaves poking out from under the brim. Maybe you two would feel better if I explain what I'm trying to do down in the basement, Dr. Brewer said, shifting his weight and leaning back on his hands. I've been so wrapped up in my experiments, I haven't had much time to talk to you. You haven't had any time, Margaret corrected him. I'm sorry, he said, lowering his eyes. I really am, but this work I'm doing is so exciting and so difficult. Did you discover a new kind of plant? Casey asked, crossing his legs beneath him. No, I'm trying to build a new kind of plant, Dr. Brewer explained. Huh? Casey exclaimed. Have you ever talked about DNA in school? Their father asked. They shook their heads. Well, it's pretty complicated, he continued. Dr. Brewer thought for a moment. Let me try to put it in simple terms, he said, fiddling with the bandage around his hand. Let's say we took a person who had a very high IQ, you know, a real brain power. Like me, Casey interrupted. Casey, shut the fuck up, Margaret said edgily. A real brain, like Casey, Dr. Brewer said agreeably. And let's say we were able to isolate the molecule or the gene or the tiny part of the gene that enabled the person to have such high intelligence. And let's say we are able to transmit it to the other brains. And then this brain power could have passed along from generation to generation. Lots of people would have a high IQ. Do you understand? Kind of, maybe? So he looked first at Casey, then at Margaret. Yeah, kind of, Margaret said. You take a good quality from one person and put it into other people, and then they have the good quality too, and they pass it on to their children, and on, like eugenics, like, whatever. Very good, Dr. Brewer said, smiling from the first time in weeks. That's what a lot of botanists do with plants. They try to take the fruit-bearing building block from one plant and put it into another. Create a new plant that will bear five times as much fruit, or five times as much grain, or vegetables. And that's what you're doing? Casey asked. No, not exactly, their father said, lowering his voice. I'm doing something a little more unusual. I really don't want to go into detail now, but I'll tell you that I'm trying to do is kind of build a plant that's never existed and could never exist. I'm trying to build a plant that's part animal. Casey and Margaret stared at their father in surprise. Margaret was the first to speak. You mean you're taking cells from an animal and putting them into a plant? He nodded. I really don't want to say more. You two understand why this must be kept secret. He turned his eyes on Margaret, then Casey, studying their reactions. How do you do it? Margaret asked, thinking hard about everything he had just told them. How do you get the cells from the animal to the plant? I'm trying to do it by breaking them down electronically, he answered. I have two glass booths connected by a powerful electron generator. You may have seen them when you were snooping around down there. He made a sour face. Yeah, they look like phone booths, Casey said. One booth is a sender and the other one is a receiver. One's a top and the other one's a bottom, he explained. Actually, with the electricity, one's a power bottom. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. I'm trying to send the right DNA, the right building blocks, from one booth to the other. It's very delicate work. And have you done it? Margaret asked. I've come very close, Dr. Brewer said. A pleased smile crossed his face. The smile lasted only a few seconds, then his expression, thoughtful. He abruptly climbed to his feet. Gotta get back to work, he said thoughtfully. See you two later. He started to walk across the lawn, taking long strides. But Dad, Margaret called after him. She and Casey climbed to their feet too. Your head, the leaves, you didn't explain it, she said as she and her brother hurried to catch up with him. Dr. Brewer shrugged. Nothing to explain, he said. Just a side effect. He adjusted the Dodgers cap. Don't worry about it. It's only temporary. Just a side effect. Then he hurried into the house. Casey seemed really pleased by their dad's explanation of what was going on in the basement. Dad's doing really important work, he said, with unusual seriousness. But as Margaret made her way into the house, she found herself troubled by what her dad had said. And even more troubled by what he hadn't said, Margaret closed the door to her room and lay in the bed to think about things. Her father hadn't really explained the leaves growing out of his head, just a side effect, didn't explain much at all. A side effect from what? What exactly caused it? What made his hair fall out? When will his hair grow back? It was obvious he hadn't wanted to discuss it with them. He had certainly hurried back to the basement after telling them it was just a side effect. A side effect. It made Margaret feel sick every time she thought of it. What must it feel like? Green leaves pushing up from your pores, uncurling against your head. Yuck! Thinking about it made her itch all over. She knew she'd have hideous dreams tonight. She grabbed her pillow and hugged it over her stomach, wrapping her arms tightly around it. There were lots of other questions Casey and I should have asked, she decided. Like, why were the plants moaning down there? Why did some of them sound like they were breathing? Why did that plant grab Casey? What animal was Dad using? Lots of questions, not to mention the one Margaret wanted to ask most of all. Why were you gulping down that disgusting plant food? But she couldn't ask that one. She couldn't let her dad know she'd been spying on him. She and Casey hadn't really asked any of the questions they wanted answered. They were just so pleased their father had decided to sit down and talk with them, even for a few minutes. His explanation was really interesting as far as it went, Margaret decided. And it was good to know that he was close to doing something truly amazing, something that would make him really famous. But what about the rest of it? A frightening thought entered her mind. Could he have been lying to them? No, she quickly decided. Nah, Dad wouldn't lie to us. There are just some questions he hasn't answered yet. She was still thinking about all these questions late that night. After dinner, after talking to Diane on the phone for an hour, after homework, after watching a little TV, after going to bed, and she was still puzzled over them. When she heard her father's soft footsteps coming up the carpeted stairs, she sat in bed. A soft breeze fluttered the curtains across the room. She listened to her father's footsteps pass her room, heard him go into the bathroom, heard the water begin to run in the sink. I've got to ask him, she decided. Glancing at the clock, she saw that it was 2:30 in the morning, but she realized she was wide awake. I've got to ask him about the fucking plant food, otherwise it will drive me bonkers. I'll be thinking about it and thinking about it and fucking thinking about it. Every time I see him, I'll picture him standing over the sink, shoveling handful after handful into his mouth. There's got to be a simple explanation, she told herself, climbing out of bed. There's got to be a logical explanation, and I have to know it. She padded softly down the hall, a sliver of light escaping through the bathroom door, which was slightly ajar. Water still ran in the sink. She heard him cough, then heard him adjust the water. I've got to know the answer, she thought. I'll just ask him, point blank. She steps into the narrow triangle of light and peered into the bathroom. He was standing at the sink, leaning over, his chest bare, his shirt tossed behind him on the floor. He had put the baseball cap on the closed toilet lid, and leaves covering his head showed brightly under the bathroom light. Margaret held her breath. The leaves were so green, so thick. He didn't notice her. He was concentrating on the bandage on his hand. Using a small scissors, he cut the bandage, then pulled it off. The hand was still bleeding, Margaret saw, or was it? What was that dripping from the cut in her father's hand, still holding her breath? She watched him wash it carefully under the hot water. Then he examined it. His eyes narrowed in concentration. After washing, the cut continued to bleed. Margaret stared hard, trying better to focus her eyes. It couldn't be blood, could it? It couldn't be blood dripping into the sink. It was bright green. She gasped and started to run back to her room. The floor creaked under her footsteps. Who's there? Dr. Brewster cried. Margaret? Casey? He poked his head in the hallway as Margaret disappeared back in her room. He saw me, she realized, leaping into her bed. He saw me, and now he's coming after me. Woo! Whoa. All right, that ends part one of Stay Out of the Basement. You know, tune in for part two. That'll be up when available. I'm a little spooked out. Their dad, he is up with some weird stuff, you know, on the basement all the time, and then leaves growing out of his head. I don't know. Maybe they should talk to a teacher, an authority figure. I'm not really sure what to do here. This is some stuff. Well, I'm Dune. This has been Dune Reads Goosebumps. And, you know, die slow and burn in hell. Fuck off. We'll be right back.